Okay, today's daf is Shavuos daf Tezayin. We are holding on daf Tezvav on Beis. We're going to pick up again from the two dots on the second wide line of daf Tezvav Amud Beis. So we're going to discuss. Oh, first of all, today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elishav Newman, the Zechus for Shlemer, for Chaim Naftali ben from Freda, as well as for Sarah Freda Bas Chaya. So we're first going to discuss how they would position the Beis Din and the two loaves when they would walk around the area that they were trying to be Mosif on the Irva Azaras, because we said that there was a whole list of requirements that they needed, and included in that were these two loaves of bread, two loaves of chametz from, as we discussed yesterday, the Karban Toda, and the Beis Din also. So where did the Beis Din walk? Where were these two loaves being carried? In front of them, behind them, next to each other, in front or in back of each other? So we're going to discuss that positioning. Then we're going to have a machlokas on the top of a meralif, whether the list in the Mishnah is a list of everything that is needed in order to be Mosif Kedusha, or any one of the items on the list would be enough to be Mosif Kedusha, and that's going to very much relate to the issue of Kedusha Rishona Kitchala Shaita, the Kitchala Asadava, whether the Kedusha Rishona is everlasting or whether the Kedusha Rishona was lost. And the reason it's related to that is because we find in the days of Ezra that some of these procedures were done, but not all of these procedures were done. So the question is, did Ezra need to be Mekadesh the place anew? If he needed to be Mekadesh the place anew, apparently you're able to do it without everything, because he didn't have all of the requirements. He didn't have an Urim V'Tumim, didn't have a Melech, and yet he was still able to be Mekadesh it. But if you assume that Ezra didn't really need to be Mekadesh, it was already Kitchel Lasalavo, so Ezra was just doing some formality, but it wasn't really a requirement, and maybe to really be Mekadesh, you need all of the items in the Mishnah. So the entire Amud Aleph is really going to be about that issue of Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel Shaita, V'Kitchel Asadavo, or not. And then in Amud Beis, we're going to try to find what is the makar for the din, that if a person not enters the Azara while he's Tameh, but becomes Tameh while he's in the Azara, that you can be Chayer for that as well. And that's going to lead to a discussion of how the Mikdash is sometimes called Mishkan, and the Mishkan is sometimes called Mikdash. And the Gemara is also going to talk about how long one has to stay in the Azara if he became Tameh in the Azara, how long he has to stay in order to be Chayiv. What is a Kedeish Tachava'a? Does it matter which direction he's being Mishtachavet toward? And then since the amount of time to stay is defined by Hishtachava'a, the Gemara is going to talk about different types of bowing. What is Kida? What is Hishtachava'a? Different types of bowing. We're going to define what exactly that involves, what one has to physically do to their body in order to be to be performing those different types of bowing. So let's begin again at the two dots on the second wide line of Daf Tezvav on Beis. Beis din malchun shtei todos achrein. So the Beis din goes, and the two todos are behind them. And again, we said yesterday we're not talking about the animals of the Karban Toda, not even the matzahs of the Karban Toda. Two loaves of chametz, the large pieces, because the chametz is larger than the matzah. Lemeimer de Beis din kamei toda azli. Does this mean to suggest that Beis din will go in front of the Karban Toda? V'aksiv vayelech achareihem oshayev chatzi sarei Yehuda. Sounds like it's achareihem, that it was after the Karban Toda. So hachi kamar. Yeah, that's what our Mishnah means as well. Beis din mahalchin, ushtei todos mahalchos, and the word achareihem is going back on the Beis din. Ubeis din achareihem. It's not that Beis din mahalchin and then the shtei todos are achareihem. It's that Beis din mahalchin, the shtei todos are also mahalich, but the Beis din is achareihem. The Beis din is behind the shtei todos. It's worded in a funny way, but that's what it really means. Ketzad mahalchos. So how did they position the todos in relation to each other when they would bring it around the area that they were trying to be mekadesh? Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi. Chad amar zu keneged zu, v'chad amar zu achar zu. Machlokas amoraim. One opinion is that they were next to each other, one todah next to the other, and the other opinion is that it was one in front of the other. Man de amar zu keneged zu, the one that says that it was one next to the other, hapnim is hachte mikrova l'choma, the pnim is the one that is closest to the choma, that's closest to the wall. And Rashi understands that that means that both of them were really outside outside of the wall of the area that they're being mosif, and the penimis is the one that's between the outer one and the wall. Man yamrzu acharzu hapenimis achtemikra lebezdin. The one that it says that it was one behind the other, the penimis is the one that was karov to the bezdin, that was between the front one and the bezdin. So says Mar Tanan hapenimis nechalas vachitzona nisrafes. The Mishnah says, well, what would happen to each of these todos? The penimis got eaten, the chitzona got burnt, because apparently the chitzona became possible to yotzei, so it had to get burnt, but the penimis never became possible to yotzei, so the penimis could be eaten. Says Mar Bishlam l'man yamrzu achazu, if it was one in front of the other, one behind the other, amtu lahachi penimis ne'echeles, mishum da'asir chitzona kama v'kitchela. That makes sense that the penimis would get eaten, because the penimis was never yotzei, meaning the front one would be mekadesh the area, when by the time the penimis followed behind it, it was already kadosh, and therefore the penimis was never possible to be yotzei, so the penimis wouldn't have to be burnt, the penimis could actually be eaten. But if they went one right next to the other, then the two of them are being mekadesh the area simultaneously. How do you explain why one of them should be burnt and the other one gets eaten? They're both being mekadesh the area together. Says Gemara, well, ultemech, even if you say one in front of the other, l'chara, it doesn't make sense that the back one never left. You think the front one has the koach on its own to be mekadesh the area? It says in the Mishnah, if you don't have everything listed, all of the requirements listed, then there is no kedusha. So the requirements involve shtei todos, not one toda. So the front toda could not have been mekadesh the area enough to qualify the back toda as not having been pasul biyotzei. And even if you hold that you don't need all of the things listed in the Mishnah, and any one of them is good enough to be mekadesh, yeah, but hani travay chada mitzvahi. But the shtei todos are a single item on the list. The shtei todos do not count independently. They're a single item on the list, so it's obvious that that the front one is not being mekadesh anything. So we're really stuck with the question whether you hold they were one next to the other, or whether you hold they were one in front and behind the other. We're left with the question, why should the penimis be eaten and the chitzona be burnt? L'chora, they should have the same status. They're either both yotzei, or you count neither of them as yotzei. Ella am Rabbi Yochanan al pi navi ne'echeles val pi navi nisrefes. It's all based on the navi. The navi decides what's going to be ne'echeles, what's going to be nisrefes. Rashi writes, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Hoyusham, val pi am baruch chodesh asu vein tam bedavar. There's no logic that the Nevi'im were there, they said al pi nevuah, what has to get ne'echeles, what has to get nisrefes. They decided that the penimis gets ne'echeles, the chitzona gets nisrefes, and that's it. So the Rashash over here is very bothered by that. Al pi navi, you're allowed to make such decisions? You know, what Nevi'im are allowed to do when there's no halacha and they create a din, they're allowed to do b'toras hara asha if there is a, you know, one-time event. This is adding to the kedusha that's going to be a kedusha for a long, long time. So yeah, it's, you only have to be makdish at once, but it's going to remain kadosh. So the Rashash is bothered. He says, haksiv eila mitzvah shei navi rashei l'chadish davar. V'omer sh'nemer lo min ha-shamayim eze din kavua l'doros. If a navi were to come and tell you, I have min hashamayim a din that's supposed to last the doros, harei zeh navi sheker. That's a navi sheker. They'd be chayv misa for saying such a thing. So from the Mishnah, it sounds like this din is knowing liolam that the penimis is nesrefes and the chitzona is the penimis is nechelas and the chitzona is nesrefes. That's always going to be the din. Why? Because chagai zechariah malachi had such a nevuah. They can't make dinim al pi nevuah. That would qualify them as neviyei sheker chas v'shalom. Says the Rashash, Tirutz lezalamadi midivrei Rambam b'chiburo paragvav milchpeis abechira aloch yud beis. He says the answer is in the Rambam, where the Rambam writes that, or seems to imply that it's halach l'moshe misinai that one of them is nisrefes, one of them is ne'acheles. Whenever there were mosif onto the azara, the navi would decide which would be which. Meaning, it was not an everlasting din that it was always going to be the penimis ne'acheles and the chitzona nisrefes. No, there's a din that one of that's a dindar reis halachal Moshe Misinai, that one is nechalas, one is nisrefes. The Nevi'im decide harasha each time. It could be different. It happened to be in the days of Chagai Zechariah Malachi, the Panimis was nechalas, the Chitzona was nisrefes, but it could be different the next time around. It could have always been flipped. That was each time the Navi did it, it was a harasha. This was not an everlasting psak. Now Tosus over here points out in Dibra Maschalam Tula Hachi on Tezvav and Beis that Rashi had explained that the Shtei Todos were Eitzal Achoma Mibachutz, that if you hold that they're one right next to the other, so it makes sense why the Pnimis is the one that's closer to the wall, because they're one right next to the other, but they were both outside of the wall. They were both beyond the wall, so the Pnimis is the one that is closer to the wall. But Tosus says it's difficult. Why then does the Gemara first assume that it makes sense that the Pnimis is Ne'acheles? Oh, it makes sense. The Pnimis is Ne'acheles because it was never Yotzei. What area are we being Mekadesh? We're only being Mekadesh what's inside the wall. If they're both outside of the wall, then the Gemara shouldn't have been okay with the idea that Pnimis Ne'acheles, because it was already Yotzei Chutz L'choma. And don't tell me, oh, we give a little leeway. You could take one step out of the Choma and that's still okay. That's still considered to be within the Kedusha. It says, Beferish Gemara Makos Taf Yotes by Meister Sheni Tar, that you're poded, you could be poded by Meister Sheni Tar. Psia achas chutz l'choma, a single step outside of the choma. There's no leeway. The choma is it. That's where the dividing line is. So how could it be, says Tosfos, where Rashi says that both of these loaves of bread were carried outside the choma? So says Tosfos, no, that's not what happened. Bifnim ayim ahalchin, they were both carried right inside of the choma. Ooh, so which is the Pnimis? How could the Pnimis then be that which is closer to the wall? That which is closer to the wall is further out. That's l'chora the chitzona. Says Tosfos, that could be called Pnima. Pnima means it's sandwiched in between two things. It's on the inside of the sandwich. It's sandwiched between the wall and the other toda. So that's what defines it as the Pnima. Not because it's further in, but because it's in between the wall and the other toda. Okay, says the Gemara now further. Kol shelo nas b'chalelu. We had said in the Mishnah that you need all of these things if you want to be mosif ali irva ala zaros. So says Gemara itmar Rav Huna amar b'kol elu tanan. Yeah, absolutely, you need all of these things, not some of them. Rav Nachman amar ba'achas mikol elu tanan. Rav Nachman says not all of them, any one would suffice. Rav Huna amar b'kol elu tanan k'savu kedusha rishon k'itchel l'shaita v'kitchel l'asa lavo v'ezra zecher be'almuhu David. Rav Huna says you need all of these things. I, when Ezra was Mekadesh the Makom HaMikdash, he did not have all of these things. There was no Melech, there was no Urim V'Tumim. How was he able to grant it Kedusha? He didn't really need to grant it Kedusha. It was Kedusha Rishonah's Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Aslava. The Kedusha was there already. Ezra was just doing a Zecher B'Alma, he was just letting it be known that there is some sort of process to be Mekadesh in area, but it didn't really need Kedusha. It was already Kadosh anyhow. But Rav Nachman Amar Ba'achas Mikol, he holds that you could be Mekadesh with any of these things. Because he assumes that the Kedusha was gone by the time of Ezra, and Ezra had to reinstitute the Kedusha. How did he do it? He was able to do it even without an Urim V'Tumim. How is he possibly able to do it without an Urim V'Tumim? Because Achas mikol elu tanan. So you see the Gemara explicitly links the machlokas, whether kol elu tanan or achas mikol elu tanan, to the machlokas, the broader machlokas that we have in all of Shas, whether Kedusha Rishon is kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel l'aslavo or kitchel l'shaita v'lo kitchel l'aslavo. This may have a lot to do with Chanukah as well. There is a brisa in the Megillas Tainis where the brisa defines why we celebrate Chanukah for 8 days. The brisa tells us in the 9th parak of Megillas Tainis, on the 25th day of Kislev, Chanachta Tamanya Yomin is Chanukah for 8 days. Delo the Mispidbon, you're not allowed to say a spadim. Why Shikshanichus Yivanim Lahechel Timukal Shmanim Shabehechel, Ukshgover Yad Beis Kashmurai Vinatskum, Batkov Lamatzal Pachecha Shaymunach Bechosamish Lkoin Gadol, Shalonitva tells the same story that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us about Chanukah, about the Pach Shemen, Velohayabal Lahadakal Yamechel Benasa Benesvi Likum Menashmona Yamin. Lishana Eres Kavim Shmona Yom Tovim. And the next year they made it for 8 days. Uma Ra'u Lasos Chanukah Shmona Yomim Valo Chanukah Shasa Moshe B'Midbar Lo Asa El Shavis Yom. Now there's an extension in Megillas Tainus that does not appear in the Gemara, where the, you know, the Beis Yosef's Kash, the Megillas Tainus says, why 8 days? Because I'm not asking Beis Yosef's Kash. Megillas Tainus is assuming that the Chanukah, the 8 days has absolutely nothing to do with how long the Neros lit. That's Stam. Neros lit for 8 days. Nice. Good miracle. But the 8 days has to do with the amount of time it takes to be mechanich and mekadesh the mikdash anew. So it says, well, why did they do a chinuch of the mikdash for 8 days? In the days of Moshe, it only took 7 days. They only, when Pesach Ol Moed, lo teitzu shivas yamim, v'yamakr v'yom rishon z'karbono, b'shvi hikriv v'frayim, and by Chanukah that Shlomo Melech did was only 7 days. Pasuk in Devarim, ki Chanukah samizveach hasra shivas yamim, v'chag shivas yamim. So why would they make Chanukah for 8 days? That in the days of the Chashmonaim they took 8 days to be mechanich. So it's unclear exactly how that really answers the question. Why did they take 8 days to be mechanich the mizbeach? Maybe to rebuild the mizbeach. Whatever it was, it took 8 days to actually do the chinuch. But the Rama writes in Hilchos Chanukah, Siman Tav Reish Ayin, that there's a ktsas mitzvah. There's a little bit of a mitzvah because these were days of Chanukah Samizbeach. So Magen Avraham says, what do you mean days of Chanukah Samizbeach? It must be referring to the days in the Chanukah Samizbeach in the times of the Mishkan. So Prim Gadim says, I don't know what Magen Avraham is talking about. Chanukah Samizbeach in the times of the Mishkan was in Nisan. It wasn't in Chanukah. He says, no, probably what it means is these were days of Chanukah Samizbeach in the Chanukah story when they had to be Mechanich the Mizbeach. So it says the Tshuvas Knaf Renana, quoted by the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta over here a couple of days ago on Daf Yudalid, he quotes the following, that in Megillas Tainus that the Chashmonaim made a Chanukas Hamizbeach and Chanukah is Talui in our Machlokas Amoraim in the Sugya, because we have this Machlokas whether you need Achas Mikolelu or Kolelu, and that's Talui on whether Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel Aslavo or Lo Kitchel Aslavo, and if it was Kitchel Aslavo it was only a Zecher B'Alma. So because he couldn't be Mekadishit Kedin. So there was no need to be Mekadishit because the Kedush of Shlomo HaMelech anyway was Kadosh Lasalava. Rav Nachman holds that it was Achas Mikalelu because Lokitcha Lasalava. So it could be that the Kiddush of the Chashmonaim is Tali in this Machlokas. According to Rav Huna, it was only a Zecher, and therefore there's no real need to celebrate with the Su'uda. And according to Rav Nachman, it was Kiddush Al Pidin. And if it was Kiddush Al Pidin, then maybe there's a greater Inyan of Su'uda. So maybe the whole Inyan of Su'udas Chanukah, whether there should be such a celebration with the Su'udas Chanukah is telling in these two deos in the Gemara. That's what he suggests in the Knaf in the Knaf Ranana or Chaim Simin Ayin Zayin. That maybe this relates to how we celebrate Chanukah exactly based on whether it was only a Zecher Ba'alma or it was a real Kiddush. Esve Rava Rav Nachman, so back in the Gemara, Rava challenges Rav Nachman, Kol Shalonasis Bichal Elu. What do you mean you only need one of the things? It says Beferish in the Mishnah that if you don't do Bichal Elu, then you can't be Mosif on the ear, Va'azaros. So Tni Ba'achas Mikal Elu. No, what it should read is Achas Mikal Elu. Tulsa says, a little bit strange to change the Mishnah for that. Meaning we're going to see that the discussion of whether Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel Shait of Kitchel Aslavo is not a machlokas that was invented in the days of the Amoraim. This goes back to the days of the Tanaim. So you have a Mishnah that seems to indicate that it's Kol Elu because Kedusha Rishon is Lo Kitchel Aslavo. So you have to change the wording of the Mishnah to make the Mishnah conform to the Shita that it's Kitchel Aslavo. I mean, Rav Nachman also agrees that there are Tanaim that hold that it's both ways, that it's Kitchel Aslava and that it's Lo Kitchel Aslava. Why change our Mishnah instead of changing the Mishnah, just attribute our Mishnah to the other Deya? So Tosfos is bothered by this Tema. There are many Stam Mishnayos that indicate that there's Kedushal Aslava. Parakama de Megillah, Parakvasu de Zvachim, the Kedushas Yushlaim, Einach Reheter. So you don't have to alter our Mishnah to suggest that it's that it's not kitchalas lavo, and therefore Ezra had the ability to be mekadesh with achas mikol elu. So the Rashash just points out that's a misunderstanding of what's going on in the Gemara. The Rashash says we're not altering the Mishnah; we're being mefarish the Mishnah. You know, when the Gemara says, for example, chisuri mechsura v'hachi katani, a lot of times you have such a line in the Gemara that the Mishnah is missing a line. It really means the Mishnah was missing a line. How much did they skip? How much did they? How many typos were there in the Mishnah? What else is a typo in the Mishnah that we don't know about? No, there were no typos. Chisur Mechsur doesn't mean that it was missing a line. It means that you need to be mefarish more, that it was written cryptically on purpose, because it was the first time they were writing down Torah Shebal Peh. They didn't want to put it all out there. They didn't yet think of the idea of having a sefer, you know, on every single mitzvah in the Torah and every detail of every mitzvah in the Torah. They were just writing some basics. They were writing some basic outlines. So it's not that we're changing the Mishnah. We're being mefarish, the Mishnah says, the Rashash. Tashim Alei Gemara says another raya. Abishalom Mishnei B'tzim. There were two swampy areas by the Harazesim, a lower one and a higher one. That's the Bitsa'in is the lashon that we use for a swamp. That's the source of the confusion that the Gemara reports in Meseches Sanhedrin, that when someone said May Beitzim are not machshir to be mekabel tuma, they thought that he said May Bitsa'in, that swamp waters are not machshir to be mekabel tuma. And they made a mistake in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara in a certain town because they didn't understand what the rabbi was saying. So, and based on that, that's when they instituted the requirement to get Heter Ra'a before you paskin, that you needed smicha, because you had to be, not because he didn't know the halacha, Mestami, he knew the halacha, but you have to be an effective communicator. And he obviously wasn't an effective communicator if they came away from the shir thinking that maybe Bitsayim are not Makshir. But that's the similar word. Bitsayim is similar, sounds similar, but you have to be clear. So maybe Bitsayim means the swamp waters. There were two swampy areas. Tachton and Neskadesh b'kalelu. The lower area was Neskadesh with all of the requirements of being Mekadesh in area. Elyon alone Neskadesh b'kalelu. The upper area did not have Kedushas Yerushalayim. Ela ba'olegola shalobim elech shalobim v'tumim. The olegola were Mekadesh, the upper area, but without a melech, without a nurim v'tumim. So Tachton, Shaisa Kedusha Gemura, Kedushas Gemura, the bottom one, which had the full level of Kedusha, Amei the Amayarits didn't trust it. They didn't trust it fully. They would eat the Kachem Kalim there, which have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, so they trusted that it was Yerushalayim enough to eat the Kachem Kalim, but that's because they were Amayarits. They weren't so careful about Kachem Kalim. But Maaser Sheni, which even the Amayarits were very careful about, they wouldn't eat in the lower area because they didn't trust that it really had full Kedusha. But the Chaverim, Ochlen Shem Kachem Kalim, U Maaser Sheni. The Chaverim, who knew that that was a legitimate Kedusha, were to eat both Kachem Kalim and Maaser Sheni. They did trust that it had Kedusha. El Yona, the higher area, Shelo Aisa Kedusha Sekumura, that didn't have a full status of Kedusha. Amei Aretz Hayu Nechasen Sham V'Ochlen Sham Kachem Kalim Avlo Maaser Sheni. The Amei Aretz trusted enough to eat Kachem Kalim there, but still not Maaser Sheni, but they trusted even the higher area, which didn't have Kedusha, to be able to eat Kachem Kalim there. But V'Chaverim, Enochlem Sham Lo Kachem Kalim Lo Maaser Sheni. There's no splitting the Pesach. V'Chaverim said, okay, that doesn't have Kedusha, so we're not going to eat anything that requires Yerushalayim. Why were the Amei Aretz so much more careful about Maaser Sheni than they were about Kachem Kalim? You would think the opposite. No, that Kachem Kalim has a greater level of Kedusha, that's Kedusha of Karbanos, whereas Maaser Sheni is the produce from your field that you know they have to eat in Yerushalayim, but you would think it might even be Mamon Hedyot, Machlokas Tanoim. So why were they more careful about Maaser Sheni? So it wasn't really Lamdus, Rashi says. Rashi writes, "V'yesh lefarish tamaretzim afrisha ma'isos ha'yizrizim lasos b'mitzvah ben amuvchar l'vishar yishom in drasha aser b'shvil shetes asher." They knew the drasha that there's a segula for ashirus in ma'isos sheni. You tell somebody something's a segula for ashirus, they're all over it. They're going to make sure they get it down every prat. That's a segula for ashirus. Tell them it's a segula for yirashamayim for banu tamid echam, and not so much. But you tell them something's a segula for ashirus, and they're very excited about it. So the ma'isos sheni, that's that they were very very careful about. Why weren't they Mekadesh the upper area as well? So why were they Mekadesh the area? Well, we just said they weren't. What do you mean, why were they Mekadesh the area? We just got through saying that they were not Mekadesh the area. Why did they give the impression that they're being Mekadesh? They included it inside the walls. So if this swamp is not going to be included included in the Kedusha. You're not going to need Kachem Kalam or Maaseh Sheni there. Why mislead people and include it inside the walls? Because it would have exposed Yerushalayim. So it's an easy place to capture Yerushalayim from a very high place. So they wanted to include it inside the walls for security reasons. They included it inside the walls. But it does not have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. But bottom line is, from all of this we see that in order to be Mekadesh, they were able to be Mekadesh Shalom Melech v'Shalom Beurim v'Tumim on the lower area, but not the upper area. So it says Gemara Tanai. So that's a Machlokas Tanaim. Whether the Kedusha Rishona is Kid Shalashaita v'Kid Shalasalavo or not. Meaning we're about to see that the Man D'Yarmah that's Lo Kid Shalasalavo Ezra needed to be Mekadesh without Melech and without Urim V'Tumim, and would therefore hold Achas B'Kalel. L'man D'Yamah that it's Kitchelas Lavo, Ezra didn't need to be Mekadesh anything, it was a Zecher B'Alma, and we can't learn anything from it. So it's Machlokas Tanaim. D'Tanya, Amar Blazer, Shamatik Shei Bona Behechal, Asu Kloim Lehechal, Uklam Lazaros. When they were building up the Hechal, before they built the walls, they hung curtains around the area that would be the Hechal, and curtains around the area of the Azaros. Elisha Behechal Bon by the Hechel, they hung the curtains inside and built outside of those curtains, and that's how they built the walls. Uba Azaros Barumi Bifnim. By the Azaros, they did the binyan inside of the walls. And the reason by the Hechel that they did the building outside of the curtains and not inside of the curtains was, as Rashi points out, Shalayazunu Eneim in a Hechel. They didn't want to be Nene from looking at the Hechel. So we're assuming, Rashi points out, Kasal Kadaitach, Tahanach Klam and Rablazer Kadela Hachshir Ha Zaros lahakriv karban, dim ein bayis ein karban de kedusha rishona batla. That we're assuming Rabbi Lezer Shita, as reported in this brisa, is telling us that they needed to be makdish the area in order to be allowed to be makriv a karban, because the kedusha rishona was gone, so it required a new kedusha. That's Rabbi Eliezer's position. And then comes Amar Rabbi Yoshua, shamati shemakriv v'nafal pishein bayis. You can be makriv even without a bayis, the kedusha is still there. Ochin kachay kachim afal pishein. You could eat kachim kachim even though there are no curtains surrounding the azara. Kachim kalim meiser sheni afal pi shein choma. You could eat kachim kalim meiser sheni even though there's no wall around Yerushalayim. Why? Because kedusha rishona kitchel shaita v'kitchel asalavo. Because kedusha rishona, he says beferish. Rabbi Yeshua says is kitchel asalavo. Ooh, lav mechal der blazer savelo kitchel asalavo. Rabbi Lazar, who is the first shita quoted in this price, apparently holds that it's not kitchel asalavo. So there you have it. Our machlokas is a machlokas tanaim within this brisa. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Mimai. No, how do you know that Rabbi Lazar holds lo kitchelas lavo? Dilma du kolyal makadush rishon kitchel shaita the kitchelas lavo. Maybe everybody holds like Rabbi Shua that it's kitchelas lavo. Umar mai deshmi aleikamar. Umar mai deshmi aleikamar. When Rabbi Lazar was reporting where they hung the curtains, that they would hang the curtains on the inside, the outside, the heichal, the azar, he was just reporting what he had heard. But maybe it has nothing to do with kedusha rishona, whether it was kitchelas lavo or not. Maybe it was kitchelas lavo. They had other reasons for hanging the curtains. That's the way they proceeded in building the area. What were the curtains there for then? Tznius b'alma. Stam, there's an elevated sensitivity to tznius in the makam hamikdash. So you have tznius b'alma, because any place of kedusha is a place of tznius, and tznius means in every sense of the word that not just in the way people are dressed, but that the place shouldn't be exposed. That you don't just open up the heichal for the world to see. So that's what they did. It was tznius b'alma. Elahanita, in general, we consider something that's exposed to the public. We consider kedusha exposed to the public to be a bizayon. The Gemara in Tainis, for example, talks about on the days of Tainios they would bring the aron out to the rechova shalir, and the Gemara is very bothered by that. Why would they do that? How could they do that to bring the aron out to the rechova shalir? So the Gemara says, Dafka, to create a bizayon, to say Ribbono Shalom, look how we're mutal the bizayon. We're sent into galus and we're out in the public, and the Hakadosh Baruch Hu is also a bizayon when we're in a bizayon. So the whole idea is that it's a bizayon. Everything we do. I was just thinking the other day. You know, even when we do Persumei Nisa, other than Ner Chanukah, every pursuit minisa that we do is bitznius, which is sounds a little bit funny. But how do we do pursuit minisa on Purim in the shul? How do we do pursuit minisa on Pesach in our homes without even being exposed to the outside? Chanukah, for whatever reason, is different. That there's dafkin in pursuit minisa all the way out for the outside world to see. But generally, being on the outside, that's a bizayon. We generally try to keep kedusha contained. Kedusha should not contained, but covered. That it should be bitznius. So says Gemara Elahani Tanai. If you want to have machlokas tanai about kedusha rishon kitchel shaita kitchel lasa lavo, it's the following tanaim. Detanya, Amar Bishol Rabbi Yossi, lama manu chachamim es elu. Why do the chachamim list specifically in Mishnah Maseches Arachin? It lists the walls, the cities that had a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, to let us know which cities had a din of batei orichoma, and it lists a number of cities. So why dafka those cities and not every city that fits the bill? So shek shalu bnei agola matzu elu v'kitchum. Because when the Bnei Gola came back, they found these cities and they were Mekadish them. Al Rishonos Batal Mishabatal Aretz. But the first ones, the Kedusha was Batal once the Kedusha of the rest of the land was Batal. Al Meksav Kedusha Rishon Kitchel Shaita, Velo Kitchel Aslava, clearly assuming that the Kedusha is not everlasting. Or a mini, but I'll ask you a steer from another Braisa, Amr Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the same Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, Vichielu Bavad Hoyu, Velo Kvar Nemer Shishim Yal Kal Chaval Argo Mamlech Hasog Babashan Kalela Arim Betsurus Chama Gavoa. Aye, but the pasuk says that there were plenty of other cities. Elolam amanu chacham meselu. Why do we dafka list these cities? Shekshal ben agal matzuelu v'kitchum. Kitchum? What do you mean they were Makadish them? Kitchum hashta? Hamrila kaman lo tzrich lo kedushay. We said they don't even require kedusha. They're already kadosh. Elam matzu elu umanum. That these are the cities they came across, so these are the ones that they listed. But v'lo elu bilvad. Ela kol shetala biyatchum mesaris me'avasecha shomakavas chomim yos yosho ben nun. Anytime you have a Masorah that the city has been surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, all of the normal dinim of a walled city will apply. The din of Batei Arichama will apply. The din of Shiluach Mitzorayim will apply to it. Why? Nesha Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel Shaita, V'Kitchel Aslavo, because the Kedusha Rishona is everlasting. So there you have two brises. One where Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says the Kedusha Rishona is not Kitchel Aslavo, and the other where Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says it is Kitchel Aslavo. So that's your Machlokas Tanaim, says Gemara. But wait, who are the two Tanaim that argue with each other? It's Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. That's a problem. So question to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. That seems to be a stira. It's not a machlokas. It's a stira of what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi holds. So there are two possibilities. Either it's two tanaim arguing about what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, which is never the preferred explanation. One of them is not Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, but rather Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Rashi writes in Maseches Ksubos, we'd always rather not say that a later generation is arguing about what a shita in the earlier generation held, because then it means one of them is wrong, and we always want to be able to say elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. And if they're arguing in a metzius, and what did this particular Tana say, then one of them is going to be wrong. You can't say elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. So the other possibility is that one of them is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Where did we come up with that from? Detanya, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Omer Asher Lo Choma. Lo Choma is really Lo with a Vav, but we spell it Lam Vav Aleph, as if it's lochav, as if it doesn't have a wall. Aval pishen lo'achshav elokodem b'chein. The drasha is that even though it doesn't have a wall now, but it had a wall previously, that kedusha remains. So you see that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi holds that kedusha rishon is kitcha l'shaita v'kitcha la'asadavo. Okay, says the Gemara now. Next sugya. Nitma bazar v'nelma menu tuma. Let's say a person becomes tameh in the azara while he's in the azara. And he has a halama. So tuma v'azar minalan. How do I know that one is chayiv for tuma that is contracted while he's in the azara? The simple pshat in pasuk is a person whose tummy who goes into the azara is chayiv. So Amar Blazer, Kasev Echad Omer es Mishkan Hashem Timei, v'Kasev Echad Omer ki es Mikdash Hashem Timei. So the fact that we have two separate pesukim, so one of them teaches us if you become tameh before, and the other teaches us if you become tameh while you're in the azara. V'Kray Miyasri Hamitzrich Tzrichi. Are these pesukim extra? Don't we require both pesukim anyway? D'tayin Reb Blazer Omer Nemar Mishkan Lamanem Mikdash V'Nemar Mikdash Lamanem Mishkan. Rabbi Elazar pointed out that why does it have to tell me both about Tuma in the Mikdash and Tuma in the Mishkan? Because ilu nemer mishkan v'lo nemer mikdash, if it only would have said mishkan and not mikdash, he's yomer al mishkan yei chayiv. I would say, yeah, you're chayiv if you go into the mishkan when you're tamei, shari mashuach b'shem na'mishcha. Because the mishkan has this elevated level of kedusha because it's mashuach b'shem na'mishcha. V'al mikdash lo yei chayiv. But I would have said, for the mikdash, you're not going to be chayiv because it's not mashuach b'shem na'mishcha. And therefore, I would have thought that a tamei person who enters the azara of the base hamikdash is not going to be chayiv, only the Mishkan. That's why it had to tell me Mikdash. V'im nemar Mikdash, and if it only would have told me Mikdash, v'lo nemar Mishkan, and not Mishkan, I would have said a svara the other way. Hayis yomer, al Mikdash yei chayiv, for entering the Mikdash while you're tameh, you're going to be chayiv, shari kedushaso, kedushas olam, because the kedushas ha-Mikdash is everlasting. V'al Mishkan lo yei chayiv, and a Mishkan you're not going to be chayiv, lekach nemar Mishkan, lekach nemar Mikdash. That's why it has to say both Mishkan and Mikdash. But bottom line, all of that is one big question. Meaning, we try to say that the fact that there are two psukim teach us that in addition to the din, that someone who's previously tameh and enters the Azara is going to be Chayiv Karbon Olav Yared, even someone who becomes Tameh in the Azara is Chayiv Karbon Olav Yared. But now we've just shown that you need these two psukim to teach a different din, to teach that the din of Tumah ba'Azara is Nogeya, both in the Mishkan and in the Mikdash. So where do you have an extra limud to tell me that you're Chayiv Karbon Olav Yared when you contract the Tumah while in the Azara? So Rabbi Lazar Hachi Kakashalei. Rabbi Lazar was bothered by the following. Michti, Mishkan Ikri Mikdash, and Mikdash Ikri Mishkan. Those terms are really interchangeable. The Mishkan is sometimes called Mikdash, and the Mikdash is sometimes called Mishkan. So Nichtav Oidi Vidi Mikdash, Oidi Vidi Mishkan. I get that you need two psukim. One to tell me about the Mishkan, one to tell me about the Mikdash. Why do you have to change the name? Just call it the same thing both times. You'll have two psukim, and you'll be able to tell me both things. So Mishkan and Mikdash Lamali, Shmamina Tarti. It must be that we're able to learn both Limudim. That we're able to learn both the fact that it applies in the Mishkan and in the Mikdash, and the fact that and the fact that you're chayiv if you go into the Mishkan or Mikdash and then become tameh while present in there already. So says Gemara, okay, but we just made an assumption. We made an assumption that one is called the other and the other, right? That Mishkan and Mikdash are interchangeable terms. Well, Bishlam Mikdash Ikri Mishkan. We do find that the Mikdash is called the Mishkan. Dichsiv v'nasati Mishkani b'sachem el Mishkan de Ikri Mikdash minalan. But where do we find that the Mishkan is referred to as a Mikdash? Ile midchsiv v'nasar ha-kasim nosei ha-migdash, that the kasim were carrying the Mikdash, and what they were really carrying is the Mishkan. No, they weren't really carrying the Mishkan. Ha-hu ba-aron ksiv. That was specifically about the Aron, and the Aron is the source of all Kedusha, so the Aron is called Mikdash. Kedusha ha-migdash emanates from the Aron. El me'achav ha-suli Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Uksiv k'kol asher nimar ha-schas tavnis ha-mishkan. So over there you see that Hashem instructs to build the Mishkan, and he calls it Vasuli Mikdash, make me a Mikdash, and that is a reference to the Mishkan. Okay, says the Gemara further, Vishtachva o Shasha Kedei Ishtachva. If the person bows while he's there or stays long enough to have bowed after becoming Tameh, he's going to be Chayiv. Amar Avalo Shanu Ela Shalo Ishtachva Klape Pnim. Avalo Ishtachva Klape Lo Shanu Ela Shishtachva Klape Pnim. That's only if he bows toward the inside. Avalo Ishtachva Klape Chutz. But if he bows toward the outside on his way out, Shain Lo Shalo. Then he's not going to be chayiv necessarily just for bowing. It's only if he also tarries, if it takes time to do that bowing. Klape pnim, even without any time, just bowing klape pnim, he's going to be chayiv. Ika demas la seifa. Some say on the seifa, oshasha b'kdei hashtachava, that when you wait the amount of time it takes for hashtachava, you're going to be chayiv. Mechal d'hashtachava gufa b'yashihia, which implies that when you do the hashtachava, you're only going to be chayiv if you wait. So amarava lo shanu la shashtachava klape chutz. That's talking about when you're bowing toward the outside. Aval klape pnim, alfa gav delosha. If you bow toward the inside, even without any delay, you're still going to be chayiv. Vachi kamar, hishtachva klape pnim, o shesha kedei hishtachva, b'hach hishtachva de klape chutz, chayiv. If you do one of two things, either you're mishtachva klape pnim without any shihia, or you're mishtachva klape chutz with a shihia, you're going to be chayiv. How does one do a shtachava that doesn't take any time? A shtachava that takes time, I would imagine you prostrate yourself, right? What are the differences? different types of shachva. So the less Mashiach, zu kriya b'yalmahu. The one that doesn't take any time, you just bend over a little bit. So that's it doesn't take, you can walk as you're doing that. So that doesn't take any time. This Mashiach, pishut yadayim raglayim. But if you spread out your whole body on the floor, so that's ispashia. V'kamashir shihia, how long is that shihia? Pligibar Rabbi Yitzchak Baruch Meini v'chad imei manu Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. V'armila Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi v'chad imei manu Rabbi Yitzchak Baruch Meini. V'armila Rabbi Shimon ben Achmeini. So machlokas between two amarai, major machlokas who it was. Chad amar kamemre, tahay psuka, v'chad amar kimi v'yichru ul v'seifa. One says the amount of time it takes to say the following pasuk in its entirety, and the other one says not in its entirety, just from the word v'yichru and on. And the pasuk reads, v'kol b'nei Yisrael roim beredus ha'eshu kvod Hashem al habayis, v'yichru ha'payim arza al haritzpa v'yishtach v'holus Hashem kitov, ki li'olam chazdo. Tan Rabbanan, kida al apayim. Kida is done on the face, meaning you stand your whole body up with your face kissing the ground. That's how Levi became lame, according to the Gemara at the end of Masechta Sukkah. V'cheinu v'tigur b'sheva apayim eretz. Kriya al birkayim. Kriya is on the knees. V'cheinu v'mercha al birka. V'shtachava'a, zu pishut yodayim raglayim. V'shtachava'a is spreading out the hands and feet. V'cheinu v'avon avon, nivim chava v'achicha, l'shtachva'a arza. That it says, v'shtachava'a arza, and that's our second of Yomi coincidence of the day. That was this past week's parsha, Yaakov telling Yosef that your mother's never going to be mishtachava arza to you. So Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow at the two dots.